Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah, let's rock and roll with it, people.
Let's go. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
Time to make it
to
the
Uh-oh. What you listening to?
Andre singing?
Yeah, that sounds like, what's happening? We can't hear you, Dre.
I was muting it, man. I was saying, who's singing in the background over there? That's the draft over there, man. Anyway.
Okay. That's almost like, what in the heck is that?
Yeah, man. I'm getting surprised. Hey. JQ, there we go. There we go. Everyone's getting admitted in. Gary, you guys good as well? Curtis?
Well, we're on. We're trying to get on this the meeting part of it, the Zoom.
The Zoom had set up like 7 occurrences on there too, so hopefully that's not too confusing. So it's all good. So again, we got a lot of things to discuss as always. Welcome, America. We're getting ourselves together. We are really excited to talk about some NBA. Got a lot of things to talk about with some trades we talked about, trying to keep track of that. That's not an easy process. NFL Top 5, we got to get a lot of things discussed, man. So, again, let's get this party started. JQ, how you feeling this evening, bro?
Oh, man, I can't complain, man. Just another day in paradise over here. Working remotely and Zoom calls with my girls to make sure they go home for class. But like I said, nice. Like Bill Murray, bro. I'm good. How you doing?
Groundhog's Day, right? It's all Groundhog's Day, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Rob Ford, what's up, bro? Settle in Tampa.
Doing great. Ready to make it do what it do.
That's a fan right there, boy. He's still rocking at LSU. That boy is a fan.
Well, yeah, man. Hey, it's draft night, man. Check this. Shaquille O'Neal, LSU jersey.
Nice.
Number one pick overall, 19, with a 92 or 93 NBA draft. So I had to pull out the Shaq jersey.
Very nice.
Yeah, that was held in Portland, Oregon. And I was there. And I forget who was the eye candy.
Besides Curtis, he doesn't know who the eye candy was.
There was a rap group called the Foo Schnickens, and I don't know if you remember that. He was talking about Shaq Shaquille. Yeah. You know, he's the first pick. Me and Ward this morning, not Christian Leitner, not Alonzo Mourning.
Yeah.
Back in the day, man. You remember that? Peace, I gotta go.
Yes, sir.
No joke. Come on, slap.
We ain't got nothing to prove.
Lash
hey,
move.
Come on, man.
Yeah, last move. We ain't got nothing to prove.
Absolutely.
I can't believe it. That's pretty dope if you remember that. Curtis, Gary, you guys good? What's going on, man? You guys able to jump into this meeting?
You know, we're doing good. A little frustrated with this whole Zoom thing right now, but we're hanging in there.
Yeah, we'll keep on plugging.
The reason why I was late because I saw you in the other meeting. I joined and I closed the other one. I'm like, well, they're not in this one. So I did send another link, so there's a couple of different ones in there, so I know it's like 7 occurrences, so hopefully send them one that we're currently in right now, too, so I think it's the first top one, too, believe it or not, too, so if not, literally just click on that last one that I just recently sent, so didn't mean to confuse you guys. I was trying to, like, be a little efficient, literally have 7 of them back-to-back-to-back, so it's just kind of easy to set them up, like, one by one, too, so hopefully that works out. Rob, you settling in Tampa?
Getting close, you know. moving company delivering all of our stuff on Friday, so getting close.
Nice. All right, there it is. All right, while we're waiting for Curtis and Gary to join, let's kick this off, man. So, again, the NBA draft is live and right in your face. I got to talk to you guys. Is there any surprise that you guys have discovered so far? We'll get a quick recap. Shout out to my dad, to my father-in-law in California. He was not happy with James Wiseman. So, Rob, we got to talk him off the ledge, if you will, man, because, again, I was like, that's what's going to happen. Like he told me about Matt Ryan many years ago. I was like, it's happening. They're drafting James Wiseman. He was trying to trade down to get Wendell Carter and Obi Toppin was who he wanted because he just didn't think
Wendell Carter.
He was 19. He's like,
he went to trade back a few years ago in the draft.
No, what's his name? Wendell Carter plays for they're doing the trade with Chicago. Like, yeah, so I mean, there was a discussion that they wanted a number two pick, and they were talking about trading with Chicago, getting Wendell Carter, and then also, I guess, the fourth pick, and basically
taking
he wanted to pick up Obi Toppin, so he wanted too. So, yeah, that's what he wanted, but obviously he did not go that direction, if you will, too. So let's talk about, NBA and to kick it off. I'll start off with you, Rob, and then JQ jump in it too, as well as we get Curtis and Gary on as well.
Hey, I actually like the James Wiseman pick for Golden State, you know. And I don't like Golden State, but I think it's a heck of a pick. He's an incredible athlete that can run the floor, a great defender, a rim protector. He can score the basketball as well. I think it's a very good pick for Golden State. I mean, he's a guy that could easily win number one overall in the draft. And I think it's a position of need for Golden State, too. When you look at their roster, if everyone is healthy, I know there's a report out there that Klay Thompson may have hurt his knee in practice today.
Yeah. It's not right now, guys.
It's not right now. What?
Who is that?
That's
your boy from Jersey.
Well, once again, I think if you look at the roster, if everybody's healthy, with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, you know, getting the center there is the only weak spot on that roster, and he's a guy that probably can come in and contribute for that team right away. So I like the James Wiseman pick for Golden State a lot. Like the LaMelo Ball pick for Charlotte as well. The first big surprise was Patrick Williams going to Chicago at number four. I don't think anybody had him going that high, but here's a guy that's going to come in to be an elite defender. He still has a lot of work to do in his offensive game, but he's 6'7". He's got long arms. He can defend. He's a heck of an athlete. Just going to need some work on the offensive end. So that was the first big surprise, seeing Patrick Williams go number four. Hey, I like the Hawks pick. And, you know, I've said it before, Onyeka is a Bam Adebayo kind of player in the making. He's about 6'9", 6'10". He's a beast in the paint. 245, 250 pounds. A great scorer around the paint. Great rebounder. Great shot blocker. And I like that pick a lot for the Hawks as well. Obi Toppin, the New York at number eight. And hometown
kid,
getting to stay home. Another guy, tremendous athlete. Great in transition. Can score the basketball, can defend. I think he can play the small forward and a power forward position in the NBA. I like that pick for the Knicks at number eight. Jalen Smith was a little bit of a surprise. The Phoenix at 10, going that high. Devin Vassell was kind of right on the money for the Spurs. Actually, kind of where I had him going in the mock. Tyrese Halliburton, you know, he's a guy that failed at 12. He could have been a guy that going in the top six. But here's the thing with Tyrese Halliburton. I said all along, even prior to the draft, the knock against him is he's not that great of an athlete, and that's probably why he fell. But he's got a tremendous basketball IQ, smart basketball player. Reminds me a lot of Andre Miller, his game. But he's just not an elite athlete, and that's probably the reason why he fell down to number 12.
Real skinny, too.
Yeah. But I think he can add some muscle to his frame, though. I think, you know, he's still growing. Kyra Lewis Jr. loved the pick for the Pelicans. Not sure how we're going to mesh him with Lonzo Ball, but as we know, the NBA is positionless basketball right now. Extremely quick. you know, great defender, can get out in the passing lanes and score. Good shooter as well, average over 18 points a game. Aaron Nesmith from Boston, probably the best shooter in the draft from Vanderbilt going to Boston. And so, that's some of the highlights. Sadiq Bey going to Detroit, I think, is another guy. I think he can be a Bruce Bowen-type player, shooter and defend. Precious going to Miami. It's going to be interesting because his style is similar to Bam. His style is also similar to Bam. Tyrese Maxey is going to be one to watch. He was a guy who's a stellar recruit. Didn't shoot the ball particularly well at Kentucky, but he's got a potential to be a stud player in the NBA. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does with Doc Rivers. And, so that's kind of my two cents on the draft. I know that was a lot.
Yeah, well, a lot happened, and I'm with you. On Patrick Williams, I thought that was a surprise that early, and it leads me to believe what's happening with Wendell Carter and Markkanen, because, I mean, you got you another big guy when you just drafted two younger big guys that you already have there in Chicago. You know, I know it's Wilson's basketball, but you got three big guys in the league that's not really, you know, it's going away from the big man. So I'm wondering what's going on. I've heard that Wendell Carter could be on the move, like you said, Dre, earlier. I wonder if that's still
Edwards game number one pick.
Yeah, I wonder if that's still and play there. I tell you what, I had a couple of Knicks fans hit me up, and they were not happy about Obi Toppin, but that dude is from New York and wants to be a Knick. And there's something to be said for that, because not many people want to play for James Dolan right now, but they really wanted Tyrese Halliburton. And I tell you what, Tyrese Halliburton got him the baddest chick on the Iowa State women's golf team, because that chick was smoking hot. I was like, ooh, I see it, Tyrese. If you're looking at the Kings, it leads you to believe what's going on with De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield as well, because yeah, you can bring him off the bench right now for maybe some scoring and you know, second team, you know, for leadership. But I wouldn't have suspected them to pick him and stop his fall. But I'm with you, Rob. I think his lack of athleticism is part of the reason why he fell out of that top 10. Uh-huh. So that one was a little surprising. And then 00 for going to Atlanta. I mean, is he going to be able to play with Clint Capella? Like, I was a little shocked at that. Not that he's not good, but when you trade him for Capella, right, and then you get him, how do you mesh them together in that front court? Is one of them going to be good enough to play power forward where the other one plays center when they both are about, 6'9", 6'10"? So I wonder how that works out for him. And then you talked about Precious as well. I was surprised he fell that far. And, again, it's the same thing with Atlanta with those two. I feel the same way you feel about him and Bam. So we'll see how that works out, but that was really my takeaways from that piece and all the trades. It's just kind of hard to figure out, remember who all went where for this call right now. You know, we won't be able to shake it out until probably next week when we get a full different list and we can reset where everybody ends up. Because I believe Denver got them a backcourt guard. I think they got in a trade for moving around that they can get to pair with Jamal Murray. To help alleviate some of the strain of him having to be the only really shot maker and playmaker in that backcourt. So I think that Denver actually got better as well, and they're going to be a full-blown problem. Is it Hampton that they're getting going to Denver?
Yeah, they got R.J. Hampton, number 24. That was a Milwaukee's pick that New Orleans acquired in the Drew Holiday trade, and then now New Orleans drafted R.J. Hampton for Denver in that pick for a future first-round pick.
I love that for Denver. Absolutely. He went and played overseas. He's played against grown men now. He doesn't have to come in and be that dude. He can play off of Jamal Murray. I really do. You don't necessarily see it, you know, me being a Laker fan, you being a Pelican fan, you being a Warrior fan part of the time, you know, in that Western Conference, that you've got the Denver Nuggets who were already playing well and probably had exceeded expectations making the West Finals.
Absolutely.
You know, get another playmaker in that backcourt. They're going to be a problem.
Yeah, they are. It's going to be amazing which one of these guys make impact. And I was surprised about how many Pac-12 guys went before Pritchard. I was a little bit surprised and missed about that. And Pritchard going to Boston.
Player of the year.
Was a little bit of a surprise. But, you
I
know,
was
the
surprised,
NBA.
Actually, that Peyton Pritchard got picked in the first round, to be totally honest with you. I kind of had more of a second round grade on him. But
no, I
yes.
Well, nobody, he wasn't on anybody's radar, so that was kind of a surprise. And he even knew he wasn't on anybody's radar.
Yeah. I wouldn't have thought that he got picked ahead of Nico Mannion, too. Now, Nico Mannion is kind of in the same boat with Tyrese, smart mm-hmm. basketball player, great IQ, but doesn't have the athleticism. But you thought he could probably be a backup point guard in the NBA, kind of like a Jock Vaughn, you know. But he's, you know, high basketball IQ kind of player, just does not have that athleticism. And I'm sure Nico Mannion will get picked somewhere in the second round. And, of course, I've kind of lost track of the second round here.
Not yet. He has to happen.
Started.
I see Dallas has traded Seth Curry to the 76ers for Josh Richardson.
Wait a minute. Say that one more time.
Dallas Mavericks traded Seth Curry to the 76ers for Josh Richardson.
Oh, wow. The Sixers traded my dude, your dude from – he played for Atlanta for Boston. He went to the Thunder.
Al Horford. Yeah. How
and
many
Danny Green.
Picks does the OKC need, man? Does OKC have enough picks, you think, man? I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, they have 16 now. Between now and 2026, they got 16 first-round picks.
That's insane. So,
crazy. Yeah, can't believe it. Now, does anybody know exactly when the NBA is going to start practicing?
December 1st.
I hear training camp's going to be early December, and they're going to have I think each team's going to have 3 preseason games, to my knowledge. I forget the dates on it.
By the 76ers, too. Wow.
Yeah.
I think December 5th is that.
Yeah. I think each team's going to play 3 preseason games, and the season's going to start on December 22nd. It's going to be a fast and furious NBA offseason.
Yeah.
Wow. What did you just say about the Sixers? Who else did they get, Dre?
They just drafted Theo Maddlin from France, or want to say the French guy, or was part of
Tony
Parker.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Tony Parker's a little protege, if you will, too, man. Man, we'll talk about that as well. This is kind of a fast fury of things happening. So, Tyler Bay. We're keeping an eye on that. This is interesting. Hey, so it looks like I know Portland made some trades too, if you will. If we can keep up with that, I don't know if you want to comment on that. No, look at JQ shaking his head.
No. I'm not saying don't talk about it. I was shocked that they gave up that much to get goodness, is the name
Robert Covington
now. Yeah, they gave up 2 first-round picks.
Yeah.
I think that's a little rich.
Well, it is rich. It definitely is rich. I was thinking that it was that was too much as well. But that's kind of what you have to do in a market like this, where you can't get people to come in and play. Sometimes you got to overpay for stuff, and good defender. So, and they're weak on the defense. That's, you know, they're a decent offensive unit, and they're always in that, you know, lower bottom tier on the defensive side. So for them to bring in anybody that's defensive minded, defensive attitude, you know, it's probably a good move for them.
He can shoot that 3-ball, too.
Yeah. I think it's a slight upgrade over Trevor Ariza now. I mean, yeah, you're right, the price they paid to get him, but I do think he's a slight upgrade over Trevor Ariza. Good defender, he can shoot the basketball, solid athlete, too. So I do think he's a slight upgrade over Ariza.
Yeah, Curtis,
and what are you
going to
get at that 16-6? Is that, you know, I mean, I know it's 2, but, I mean, at least at that 16th pick, I think, you know, that's all right. I'm okay with that. It's just that the other asset that you give up, you know, that's the issue I have. Especially when you're dealing with a team like Portland that is, you know, has got some skilled players there, but they're a couple of positions away from, you know, from really getting into the mix in the Western Conference. This is not going to move the needle that much. It's going to be – it's better, but – you can't give up so much for these things. Unfortunately, they had to.
Yeah.
Curtis, what do you think?
And trading that 16 pick to Houston, Houston looked like they used it on Isaiah Stewart, big man from Washington. Another guy who's a more of an undersized center, about 6'9", strong in the paint. So, you know, Houston, you know, going with those undersized centers again.
Yeah, but you know,
we were talking about Golden State just a few minutes ago. What's going on with Klay Thompson? I heard a little news clip earlier that he got hurt again today. What's up with that? You guys got any info on that?
Yeah. That's all they're saying. They said he's hurt his knee. They got to run some more tests. They don't know the severity of it quite yet.
MRI tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all bad. That's all. But you know what I like about what they didn't do is they didn't panic. If Wiseman was your guy, you stay with him and you don't say, let me go get LaMelo. You stay with your draft board and you figure out the rest of that later. I still think that's a solid move. I don't think LaMelo moves the needle enough for you to choose him over Wiseman if Wiseman was your guy, even if you got that information about Klay today. I truly don't. The thing that also that I saw about the trades, that we kind of mixed the first two topics together, the first three, is that the Clippers gave up Shamet basically for Luke Kennard in that three-way deal with the Pistons and the Brooklyn Nets. I was really shocked at that because when you watch Shamet play, that dude can play,
awesome.
And he plays good defense for the Clippers. And
yeah.
They gave up on him basically to get Luke from Detroit. I was shocked at that. I don't quite understand why you make that decision.
I don't either. I didn't agree with that trade either from a Clipper standpoint. Luke Kennard hadn't showed you anything. And, anything. Yeah, he can't even guard a statue.
No. No.
No, he can't.
Maybe he was part of that whole locker room issue, and he just doesn't seem like he's that kind of guy. And maybe he was. That's all I can come up with that because the way he played – you know, be able to shoot the three ball and play defense. It was like, why would you get rid of that dude? Like that for Luke Kennard? Really? I'm with you, Rob. I was really shocked at that.
Yeah,
I was shocked. Here we go. Your pick is about to come in for the Pelicans, Rob, too. So we'll keep an eye on that too. By the way, too. So really quickly before we move forward, just want to comment on my. Oh, you guys get the Vet Krychek whatever from the Czech Republic. Enjoy that one. Wow. All right, that may be a stashing. Cash play for you guys.
Oh, yeah. He's 2 years away from being 2 years away.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Hawks. Like you said, Ngakoue, whatever. I'm probably butchering his name. So I was with you, JQ, because when I first saw the pick, I know I saw Haliburton on there, and I was like, okay, I thought he was a guy because we need somebody to kind of, again, keep him, you know, be someone to kind of manage the second unit for the Hawks. But apparently they may be going with a veteran point guard for that. But then also I thought we were going to go with scoring because we were last in the league with three-point shooting. So I figured we'd get either like a Vassell or like a really good shooter. I wasn't quite sure where they're going to go with that too. So whenever I saw them get the defense, I'm like, oh, they're definitely trying to, again, be a little bit more solid. So maybe that's more of a pick, if you will, in case I'm strong, you know, with Clint Capella or someone to kind of solidify the second unit. And then that's going to definitely talk about what's going to happen in free agency, whether we're talking about getting Gallinari or, you know,
Rondo,
David Bertrand, whatever. Yeah, we keep hearing Rondo's name, even though I hear he really wants to play with the Clippers, believe it or not. That's kind of the word on the street, too. So I'm not quite sure if he wants to play with the Hawks. Now, again, as a Hawks fan, there's word on the street that we're going to look at Cassius Winston. I don't want any more Michigan State point guards. No, no offense. You know, I remember Ramil Robinson back in the day. But, again, that's just me. But
Ramil Robinson went to Michigan.
Oh, that's right. Hell, damn. Anyone in that state, I'm so sorry. Anyway. Shit, that was on me. No guards from Michigan State.
I'm about to say, Magic Johnson did come from Michigan State, so you don't want to dog out Michigan State too bad when it comes to guards.
Yeah, I did not mean to. Yeah, well, Michigan State is better guards, so yeah. But yeah, that's it. I'm definitely butchering that. But that's what I got for that, too.
Nah,
you're good. Rob, what else you have on that?
You know, just looking at the trades here, you know, the real intriguing team here is going to be Phoenix with Chris Paul, right? You know, Phoenix went 8-0 in the bubble, and with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton, it's going to be real intriguing to see, you know, how big of a step that they're going to take with the acquisition of Chris Paul. The question is, can he stay healthy, right? And then also Milwaukee, you know, is Drew Holiday going to be able to push the needle with that team? With Giannis, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, how much does he make them better? And so those are going to be two teams to really, you know, watch. I know the Lakers got Dennis Schroeder, and they definitely needed somebody like that. But you give
there
up
you
a
go.
Good shooter
Thank
in Danny
you.
Green, but I think you can find a shooter. And but I think Schroeder was also a good addition. But obviously the two big moves is Chris Paul of Phoenix and Drew Holiday to Milwaukee. And you know, how far does that move Phoenix up in the Western Conference? And does the Drew Holiday move finally get Milwaukee in the
yeah.
Eastern Conference Finals? So that's what's going to be. It's going to be interesting with those two moves.
Yeah, but the thing about Milwaukee is that it just came out that Bogdanović is planning to enter restricted free agency. So that trade, I think now it's been scuttled between Sacramento and Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee.
So I think that does a little bit to derail what they were trying to do to prove to Giannis that, hey, we're trying to go all in because that just a flat out shoot the rock. Maybe he just didn't want to move to Milwaukee. He said, bump that. Because it's not like he's entering unrestricted free agency. He's going to restricted free agency. So not quite sure why he would make that decision. I would be thinking he would be looking to get out the West, go to the East and play with Giannis and Drew and Chris Middleton. Seems like that would be a better opportunity for him to get more playing time and not be stuck behind with Hill. De'Aaron Fox. So a little weird about that particular move. I'm looking at Philadelphia, and we could go back to OKC. I really didn't think they were going to be able to move Al Horford's deal because of so much money was left on it. But it just shows you that if you got some picks that you're willing to part with, there is no money. And Chris Paul, to your other point, there is no amount of money that is not, you know, unmovable. So really crazy, and I think we've got one left on the table. I'm not really concerned about Russell Westbrook because, I mean, do they still trade for – does Charlotte still trade for him now if they drafted LaMelo Ball? But Chris – I mean, James Harden turning down $50 million a year lets you know how pissed he is with Houston. Can you imagine telling Houston, no, that $50 million check you're going to give me for 2 years, I'm good on that, and no state tax so you can potentially maybe go play in New Jersey? Bro, you're going to have to sign and trade me, but if you're going to give me 2 year extension for 103 – with no state tax? Listen, I might not win a game and be okay with that. $50 million a year? That's crazy.
It is crazy.
Yeah, well, that just shows you, you know, how much these guys want to win, too. And James Harden just hadn't been able to get over the hump. You know, a couple of years ago, they made it to the Western Conference Finals. You know, they had a 3-2 lead on Golden State. Chris Paul gets hurt, and then they, you know, they fall apart. Yeah, he didn't show up in the playoffs. You're right. A combination of him not showing up in that series and a combination of Chris Paul getting hurt. And we haven't seen Harden show up in the playoffs yet. So now he's trying to join the super team, seeing if he can join the Nets. Sounds like he wants to go play with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
That's crazy, though. $50 million, bro. I'm going to play with the five of y'all. We might not win three games, but if you're going to pay me $50 million, you go ahead and sign that check every 2 weeks.
Yeah, I heard some rumors about that, too.
I'm sorry. You got me now? You know, that's a heck of a lot of money to you know, to give away, you know, or to let go, you know, as a professional athlete, you know, $50 million, that's a hell of a lot of money. And there's no guarantee you're going to go over there. You're going to win. You know, you don't get a NBA championship ring for winning the Eastern Conference.
No,
that's all he's going to get.
And more money doesn't make you better.
They're
player
not going
to
win the West. You've got a Warriors team that's stacked. You know, you've got a LA team that's stacked. You know, those are the two big boys out there. You know, Houston's taking that step back. OKC's taking a step back. You know, the only other team that's taking a step forward really is Phoenix right now that I see, and maybe Utah in the West. So it's going to be an easier road for him maybe to get to the finals, but those three guys are going to have to play better than they've ever played before to beat the Lakers or Golden State.
And don't forget the Clippers out.
Injuries always play a part, but if both of those teams are at full strength, just like you said, Harden's not one of these guys that shows up in the regular season big games. He's phenomenal. But in a big clutch game where you need him to really buckle down, especially when you got another, you know, Chris, like Chris Paul, you know, you needed him to just go off. And he wasn't there. So if he plays really well and, you know, KD plays well and all that, that whole group plays well, you know, they can win a couple of games in the finals at best, but they'll still lose.
Well, I think
just a few games, huh?
Yeah. I think there's something to
win
that.
One or two games.
If I'm
not in the finals,
if I'm not mistaken,
not
I think
finals.
I think who's backing up the young coach there? I think that's D'Antoni backing up the coach there in Brooklyn.
Yeah, is that because Steve Nash is the coach now? So yeah, I think
I don't see Kyrie Irving either not being there or being hurt for the rest of the season. So I don't think the ball needs to be shared between Harden and that Flake. I call him. Now, one of the curious things for me, though, I don't know why Doc Rivers wanted to coach the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's a bunch of head cases there in Philadelphia, and I pity Doc Rivers for trying to figure that out. That's going to be hard to do.
They're moving them out. Al Horford gone, Josh Richardson gone. They're moving them out.
Yeah. Right. Hey, don't underestimate that Danny Green move. The Sixers acquired Danny Green today. Hey, when you talk about Joel Embiid and the double team that he causes and creates, and now you got a spot-up shooter on the perimeter, and that's what that Sixer team needed. They needed better shooting on that team. They still got Tobias Harris. Ben Simmons coming back, but we know he can't throw it in the Pacific Ocean. but he can at least could penetrate to the paint and kick it out, right? And so getting Danny Green to surround that, I think that was a very underrated move for the Sixers. Sometimes, you know, you don't need four or five guys that can score the basketball like Al Horford. And I think, you know, sometimes moving down a star level or so, which they did here, I think may actually make their team better. So I like the move by the Sixers. And Tyrese Maxey, he's an underrated player, and he can really possibly come in this league and be a scorer, too. And
there it is.
So watch him. Watch him as well.
And Luke just signs up and Seth Curry, too.
Yeah,
they just got Seth Curry. Got another shooter.
Yeah, there's one last thing.
And I like him. I do like him.
Yeah. There's one last thing I saw. I believe that the Jazz took Azubuike from Kansas. You know, you had the whole thing that went on with Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. Is that a signal that Rudy Gobert is now on the move or potentially getting ready to be let go? Because he checks a lot of the same boxes off that Gobert does. I think he could be a really good elite defender in the middle. You're not going to run any plays for him. He doesn't have the greatest, you know what I'm saying, offensive skill set with his back to the basket. But he can thrive next to Donovan Mitchell being able to create for him and get his own, you know, kind of putbacks and rebounds and whatnot. So I thought that was really interesting from the Jazz as well. When you got Gobert, then you go out and get and draft Azubuike in the first round.
But he's not Rudy Gobert. I think it's a good pick for Utah, but he's not Rudy Gobert. I think he's a complimentary player, either to play alongside Gobert or come off the bench and support him. But he's not Rudy Gobert. And Utah would definitely need to keep Rudy Gobert some kind of way. But Azubuike is a nice piece to come in and to give them an extra big to come in a rotation type player. But he's not Gobert, though.
Gobert wasn't Gobert when he first got drafted either. So maybe he can grow.
hey, okay. Who is Zeke Najee? Who is this?
Zeke Najee from Arizona. He's a piano player, man.
Yeah, sir. His piano playing is not what I'm interested in. Have y'all seen his work?
That's what's up.
Who you interested in?
I need to ask you.
Who you interested in?
I need answers, man. I need answers, man. I don't know what's going on at the draft party, but his mother has on a kente cloth dress, sir. I need
come on, man.
No,
come on, man.
Come on, man. Nas cracks me up. He's like, I need answers. First thing he said, I'm not interested in his piano playing. I love it. I love it. Nas, anything you got to say about the Hawks pick or anything like that?
Man, because, you know, I'm not a college guy, so I'm pretty much going to be doing my YouTube thing all week, kind of looking up and seeing what guys really are about, but watching, kind of looking at their games. But I always trail behind the draft, man. Y'all know my death to the NCAA stance. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I always got to wait. But come on, man. His mother is wearing a kente cloth dress, man. Like, dude, what?
Man, you can't be on there for representing their culture because she got on the kente cloth.
Sir, she is a white woman wearing a kente cloth dress. I get to laugh. I don't care what you say. I get to laugh.
Hey, man, listen. She was on that mission with the church and saw that dude and said, "I need him. Whatever you want me to put on me with you, baby, I'm gonna do it."
I blame Cam Newton. People are looking at Cam Newton, and now they're trying to outdo him at press conferences and in front of the camera when they get to put on some clothes. Because Cam, I'm not sure what he's doing.
Shoot. Russell Westbrook and Dwayne Wade for wearing capris, too.
Man, listen, we can go down the rabbit hole with
Nancy
this.
Nancy Pelosi with the kente shawl on earlier this year. Like, this is
I know. It's still just
but
I was gonna ask you a question.
Yeah, but the trade is interesting, man. We're gonna see a lot of movement next week. Some of these rookies are gonna go have a high impact on the lesser teams.
Yeah.
But some of the contenders are gonna have a tough time getting these guys minutes. So they'll probably be a little lesser, but I'm all in on LaMelo Ball in Charlotte. Hey.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
We're
going to
see what he can do.
Ball. They were excited about that. LeVar played for the Panthers, believe it or not, back in the day. Are you okay with your pick, Lou, by the way, for Obi?
Am I? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't wait for the season now.
Okay, cool. Because I know a lot of fans wanted Tyrese Halliburton, and everyone's complaining about having a point guard. So that's interesting how I know. I'm just saying that's what everyone says. We'll talk about that in a quick second. Okay.
They got one. I think they traded for Quickly. I think when it shakes out, that they're going to end up with Quickly from Kentucky.
Yep, they did get Emmanuel Quickly. Quickly shoot the basketball, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. Okay, good for them. So you got both pieces. You got the player of the year, and you got a nice point guard. Okay, that'll help out with your boy, I'm sure, with, play for the Knicks, or play for the Duke, if you will. Hey, let's keep this going here.
Randall.
Barrett, if you will. Hey, I was going to ask you guys about whenever the Ravens were playing the Patriots, I thought about you, JQ. I was thinking, has Lamar Jackson looked across the field and kind of seen his future? He's like, is this what I'm going to be if I don't get my game right? You know, if you think about that, like if Lamar Jackson doesn't get himself right, could he end up being like Cam Newton? So he has to literally, like, make some adjustments. So I don't know what you guys thought about that, too. So I was, like, watching the game, like, wow, this is going to be obviously the Patriots. Think about that. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. There was only one small difference in the fact that, yes, passing-wise, but Cam was so much bigger and he's so much bigger and younger that when he did it, he just took so much more of a punishment. Like, when you watch Lamar, he doesn't take a lot of big shots. Like, he runs, he gets out of bounds, or he gets down. Cam used to just go up the middle like he was Mike Allstar. Like, hey, man, you're still the quarterback, bro. You can't keep doing that. And now you see it wearing on his body as he's gotten older. That's one of the slight differences. But in his mind, he should have to, man. If I don't start getting the ball down the field to Hollywood and to Willie Steed and to Mark Andrews, they're going to be looking at me just like that here when these, you know, this 4.4 speed turns to 4.6 speed, and I just can't run away from people. Absolutely.
Yeah, we know how much Gary Curtis loved Cam, so we had to throw it in there too. So that's what it's all about.
Just stirring the pot. Just stirring the pot, yeah. Aren't you?
Oh, man.
I see it. I see that pot stirring. You know, I don't even know what to say. I was so disappointed with that game. Curtis?
Well.
That was the only thing that I wanted.
No. That was a surprise, but I thought of this today, and I don't know why we don't even talk about this. We should talk about, in the NFL, they get a lot of film on everybody and everything. A lot of film. And if you're not thinking about changing your way and changing up some things to throw people off, I think they got you. I think they got you. As much film as they got on everybody in this league.
Tendency.
But I want to say this. At the end of that, Arizona game, and what?
Yeah, great game.
You know what my first thought was? This is why they fired Bill O'Brien. There was no doubt in my mind when I saw that catch. They had to fire Bill O'Brien. Oh, my God. You're fired, Bill. You don't know what you're doing.
And last week, we were talking about Russell Wilson being in the conversation for MVP.
He gone.
You know,
I don't even have him in my top five anymore.
You can't.
He gone.
He's not now.
Yeah, he's not he's not going to be the top vote getter.
Yeah.
No.
Top five, Rob.
And you know what? We all said that. I believe Curtis was the only one that said no, not mine. And I remember talking to Curtis, and I'm like, "Do you remember?" And he says, "Oh yeah, yeah, you remembered."
But a little bit of what I'm talking about, and I think that's what's going on in the Seattle defense. I think the NFL has got film on the Seattle defense. And I don't think Pete Carroll and them idiots up there are figuring out how to beat the camera and figuring out how to change some things up on the up there on that defense. Yep. Everybody's got film on that and know exactly how to attack it and kick in Seattle's butt. They need to beat the camera up there in Seattle.
And everywhere else.
Hey. You got to have the Johnnies and Joes, and Seattle just don't have those on the defensive side of the balls right now. They don't have the sonic boom on that defense right now. They just don't. Jamal Adams, when he's healthy, has been pretty good, and that's about it on that defense. Even their linebacker core has not been as good as they've been in the years past as well. So it's their defense is just not there right now, and the Rams' offense is not that great, but Seattle couldn't get anything going offensively against the Rams' defense. There's some real concerns right now in Seattle, where they got out the season, you know, coming out blazing. But right now there's some real concerns about that defense. And as you saw, I mean, they even had trouble protecting Russell Wilson in that game, man. They were hitting Russ the entire game. Russ was scrambling the whole game. His elite receivers wasn't getting open. I mean, it was just a disaster of a football game for Seattle.
Well, Russ played like in this last game. Russ played like some of the bonehead games. Now, I was a Tony Romo fan, and I liked how he played quarterback. I liked him. He was a gunslinger, and he threw it down there. But he would get in these games. He always crushed the Giants. I love that. But that's what he looked like. Russell Wilson looked like Tony Romo did in one of those bonehead games in this last game, where he's just, you know, trying to make something out of nothing, and nothing's there. Shit's getting picked off, and you know that's the way it is. That was my analogy of it. I thought it was almost like deja vu for me.
Well, you know what? I think what happened to him, I think what happened to him in that game is that Jalen Ramsey did such a good job on DK Metcalf that they could roll a safety over top to lock inside, and they just did not have an answer for who do we get involved. You know, is it Olsen? Is it Disley? You know, is it more? Who is our third target that we have to exploit this matchup against the Rams? Because Ramsey didn't really need a whole lot of help with Metcalf. So when you could roll the other part to lock it,
right,
and you could take those two outside guys away, I'm with you, Curtis. They didn't have any answer, film-wise, and nothing, you know, any adjustments to go and say, okay, how do we do this to make ourselves more successful? And that's where you call Russell patting the ball and getting hit, because when you take Lockett and Metcalf away, he was done. That's it.
Hey, look, man, if you're built to win shootouts and you're down to your third and fourth running back, it's going to be tough. So that's why you see in Seattle struggle. It is what it is. DJ Dallas and Homer, like, you don't want them as starters. So
right,
that's going to be a problem. They'll get it together. Russell will be fine. I don't know how Breeze and Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt, though, because they appear to be pocket quarterbacks. And I was told only running quarterbacks get hit and get hurt. So I don't know how that happened.
No.
Cam Newton is leading probably one of the worst offensive skill position groups you've ever seen. And they appear to be treading water. They appear to be playing okay. Not the best, but okay. I don't understand the hatred for Cam Newton. Lamar Jackson,
I wouldn't call it hatred,
playing in an offense similar to San Francisco, to where they don't have much variety, they need more counters, and they're struggling to really get separation with their skill position guys. I don't know if that's a Lamar Jackson issue. Hey, if you guys want to go ahead and roll with that narrative, go ahead. We'll just keep listening to the guys telling us that if you can run, you ain't no good. You got to be able to stand there and be a statue. That's the only way you can play quarterback.
I think
more general managers are looking for quarterbacks who can run and gain run for first downs,
mm-hmm,
and be more effective. And so I think NFL, that's the way the game is going. I think these general managers are looking for more quarterbacks to be mobile. Hey, you look at, you know, the Patrick Mahomes. You look at the Russell Wilson. And they don't have to run all the time, but to be able to run in a pinch. And I think that's what they're looking for, someone that can buy time in the pocket, you know, and get that extra second or two to get some receivers open. And if you have to run to, you know, have that kind of capability, that's the way the games is going right now. You look at Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields.
Are we retaining that information? Because I'm hearing the same criticism that we heard in the early 90s. Oh, they figured him out. NFL players don't get figured out. Schemes get figured out. If you got an OC, then everybody knows what your pet plays are. Everybody knows what your counters are, and it becomes a little more difficult to get open. That's not a that quarterback issue. That's an OC issue. That's a coaching issue.
Yeah, that's right.
So Lamar coming out and saying people are calling out their plays, well, it's the same stuff they was running in Frisco. So, that happens.
Yeah. No, I don't think anybody's saying that about him. I mean, Lamar is phenomenal. I would never say that. What I say about that, and you're right to a point, is the OC, if it is, that you have to have complementary football. It's great to be able to run the ball like that and be able to control the clock. But when it comes to playoff times and you're facing better defenses, and it's been shown for them in the past couple of years, that you just can't come up there and think you're going to control the clock the way they can in the regular season. They've got to figure out, and I think it also is on the AC, but I think it's also on – Lamar to say, hey, you know, come on, Hollywood. Come on, Willie Steen. Come on, Mark Andrews, who I think is a really good tight end. Let's stay after practice and work on some things and get our chemistry together so that when we need to have those other compliments in our passing game, that we have that capable to us. Sometimes, you know, he's missing shots to Andrews and Hollywood.
We're talking about chemistry issues and we're talking about schematic issues. This ain't they need to stay after practice. This is they need more wrinkles in their offense. If we're coming out and each set has similar motions, similar sets, and everybody's calling it out, that means we've got a problem with what we're doing strategically, scheme-wise. That's the issue.
No, I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. I say I would agree with that, but some of that is when you're starting to be a quarterback who plays quarterback all the time. You don't think he has any ability to do any, you know, checking off at the line of scrimmage or anything? Like he has to go, everything has to go through the OC? If that's the case, then that's on them. Well, I think that he should be gaining a little bit more of the trust.
If you check in your other Tecmo Bowl playbook, then, I mean, okay, what are you checking into? Are you really fooling me?
You going back to that now?
Jeez.
I got to push
back.
You're making me feel old, I got to push back on Nas. And you know I don't like the Patriots. And I don't like the Patriots, but I got to push back on Nas. The worst offense I've seen all year, they're doing in Chicago. I don't know what they're doing offensively in Chicago. That is stinky. The coaches don't know offense. The players don't know offense. Who doesn't know offense in Chicago?
Nick Foles don't know the offense. Hey, we got to talk about some predictions here. But really quick before we talk about that, I cannot believe that Zach McKinley failed the physical for the Bengals, failed the physical, didn't get signed by the picked up by the 49ers, because that just shows how bad they're on defense. They don't have anybody, so that's just the reason why.
He said, I'm not going to Cincinnati. I'm going to eat all the chili and hot dogs I can. I ain't going to even try to pass the physical to go to Cincinnati.
That's sad. You can joke about your own team, man.
I'm just,
man.
I mean, come on, man.
Well, I was kind of, you know, I said that at the beginning of the year. Cincinnati, please protect that young kid. Please protect that young kid. And they totally failed at that Sunday. They couldn't protect that kid to save their lives in Cincinnati.
I disagree. They did a better job. But, again, the same thing with that dude you talked about with Baltimore's OC. He is so predictable. They had one good drive, and Pittsburgh adjusted, and then he never made an adjustment off the adjustment, and they got warped.
Yeah. There it is. Take your notes. Hey, Rob, we're going to talk about the NFL.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does. Actually, but we'll keep that. We'll see in the OC. Let's talk about some games here. We have an interesting game. I know Rob is in Tampa Bay right now, and it's pretty ironic that, as Naj mentioned, that Drew Brees gets her crazy hit, you know, the lungs, and it was just kind of shocking he didn't play the second half. And then next thing you know, you have Jameis Winston literally starting for you, played at Tampa Bay against the Falcons. Again, we're not sure which Falcon team is going to show up, so this is going to be another interesting matchup, you know, because, again, we have the bye week. Sean Payton pretty much traditionally owned the Falcons, if you will. So this is a pretty good game. We're playing at the Saints. We, you know, freaking Dirk Curtis talking about he's been, like, spending extra time, you know, planning this, but I don't really know what the hell we're going to show up, man. So, you know, we'll see what happens, man. So Rob, I would not be surprised if the Saints pull this off, but, you know, I don't even know what Falcons team they're going to show up to, man. So there you go, man. What say you about everything?
Well, you know, the people here in Tampa are giving me a hard time. They don't seem to think the Saints can win with Jameis Winston. And I beg to differ, actually. You saw what Sean Payton was able to do with Teddy Bridgewater last year, go 5-0 with the Saints. And to be totally honest with you, the Saints have been, they're 7-2 this year, but a lot of it is due to their defense, their special teams, and Alvin Kamara. And, I mean, that's been the last I checked, you know, they're still going to have Alvin Kamara. They're still going to have the special teams unit, and they're still going to have the defense there this weekend. And, you know, I think Sean Payton will play to Jameis' strengths, and he's going to mix in a little Taysom Hill and play to his strengths too. And I like the Saints. Atlanta's scary offensively, and Atlanta's been playing very well here the last couple of weeks. But I'm going to go with the Saints here to pull this one out. I think it's going to be fairly close, though. I'm going to go 27-21, the Saints pulling it out. And Alvin Kamara is quietly sneaking in the MVP conversation.
Yeah, can I
agree
that?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Can you tell us what Taysom Hill's strengths are? You said play to Taysom Hill's strengths. Can you please tell us what those things are?
be Taysom Hill. Run Taysom right. Run Taysom up the middle. Run Taysom left.
I had to get it in.
Give me a Tebow jump pass.
Jameson Winston.
Give me a jump pass every now and again.
Jameson Winston's strengths are what? Throwing interceptions. So they're going to have to throw. They're going to overcome three interceptions. Because I'm picking Atlanta.
Killer Crab Legs.
What I heard that the coach.
Yes. Thank you, Garrett.
Coach Davis, you turn the ball over here at the state land, you're going to be out on the street. He told him straight up,
yeah.
I'm not doing the turnovers.
Jake,
and you won't be.
Well. I think he's going to play well. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
why, they're not
going to
have him throw?
Yeah, they're going to have him throw.
He's not going to throw the ball?
He's going to be the Deacon
no.
Dunk thing.
I think I'm going to take New Orleans, and I think he can do just enough. I don't think when he was with Tampa, the defense didn't play as well last year like they were playing for Tom this year. So he felt like he had to go out there and win a shootout every time, and he forced things in. I don't think he's going to have to feel like he's going to do that. I think that Saints defense is a little bit better. They've been playing better. Like you said, Alvin Kamara, he can do a lot more of the turn around, hand it off to Kamara, throw it to Kamara out the backfield. You got Michael Thomas underneath, and then they got that kid Taquan taking the top off the defense, which is what he wants to do. You just have to rein him in a little bit to say, hey, you ain't got to throw it deep on first and second down, bro. Take that check down for 4 or 5 yards and make it a third and manageable and keep the chains moving and give Kamara the ability to get rolling downhill. It's a maturity thing as well that I've got him in a much better situation now with Peyton and a better supporting cast than I had before. I don't have to do all this myself. And if he can do that in that game, I think they can beat the Falcons. But if he goes out there and goes back to bad Jameis, you know, trying to go deep on 1st and 10 every time and it's double coverage, then they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah. And here's the thing. If you want to take a shot down the field, you can now with Winston. You know, with Breeze, you know, Breeze has been the, you know, 20-yard, you know, max, you know, throwing a football down the football field right now. So with Winston, you have an opportunity to play the strengths a little bit and take a few shots in the game. But I agree with JQ. You don't want him doing that every down, every play, that kind of thing like that. But I think it's there available. That's in your playbook now with Winston at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this was the purpose of him coming down there. Supposedly, he has first-round number-one pick talent. But he needed to be what? Coached up, and some of his bad tendencies needed to change. Sean Payton looks at him and says, okay, I'll do that. Come in here for the minimum. We'll change your career, and then you'll be able to get back on the open market or stay here as a high-level franchise-type quarterback. So the proof is in the pudding, man. He's got to put up or shut up. He has weapons at his disposal. He's in a really good offense. So this is sink or swim for Jameis Winston. Either he's holding the clipboard for the rest of his career or he's a legitimate starter. We find out this year.
Agreed.
Yeah. There's a good chance he could be starting at least 3 games here. 2 to 3 games for sure, possibly more.
And Drew Brees is on the wrong side of 40, so it's a bad, it's not a worse place to be holding a clipboard for another year and a half and then get that offense with that coach to hand it over to you if you prove, like you said, that you're worthy.
I think what you guys were saying is
if somebody did a belly-to-belly suplex on Tom Brady like that, they would have been ejected from the game. The fact that Homer got to do that to Drew Brees with no real repercussions kind of shocked me. Like, yo, Drew Brees is a made man, too. Like, how y'all know?
Not a belly-to-belly suplex. Man, you are stupid.
I can't believe he stayed in the game. You can tell he was shook up after that hit. You know, you could tell he was visibly shaking.
It was like the tailor-made play of what they say they were outlawing from the league. You threw your weight on dude. Like, I don't know how that happened.
And I'm not sure that was actually a penalty, but there you go.
Well, it was helmet to helmet. That was number one. That was the reason why it was a penalty, first of all. But
But they don't want you to land on him. He's right. That's what they're trying to take out.
Gary's looking pretty serious here. Go ahead, Gary.
Well, I think it's going to be fine. I think if the game is close, I think what Rob and JQ is saying could actually, you know, come true. But if the Saints get down a little bit, 10 points, 14 points or something, then I think that's when the old bad Jameson
Winston
comes.
That's where you want the Falcons. You want the Falcons up 14 because they're going to find a way to blow it.
Not with Winston.
I'm just saying, we got games this year on the ledger where the Falcons have been up double-digit points to the Cowboys,
your team comeback to
the
Bears.
That was back
I mean, like
Dan Quinn. That was Dan Quinn.
Well, just like what Rob was saying, you know, they're playing defense now, and I think we'll see how it goes. But that's just my thoughts on it.
The Cowboys are working on getting in the top two draft picks.
Yeah,
they might have the second draft pick in next year's draft. And they might take that kid from Ohio State.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
There it is. Jake, you're
as,
really
as sad as it is, it's a good chance that Dak won't be with the Cowboys next year because Dallas might be in prime position to take one of these quarterbacks. You know, you look at my latest top 32. I mean, I got four quarterbacks in the top seven of the draft right now. And that's going to be hard to pass up. You know, when you look at Trevor Lawrence, you look at Justin Fields, you look at Zach Wilson from BYU, and you look at Trey Lance from North Dakota State, and Mac Jones. I mean, I have him at like 13 overall. I'm not looking at my notes in front of me. But so quarterback from Alabama. So I mean, that's five and
well,
a 15
how
right there.
How old is the guy from BYU? You got to watch them, man. They're coming to camp. You
like
35?
Come on, man.
I know.
He is old, man.
Hey, I thought you don't pay attention to college football.
No.
You know about the Mormon missions, all right?
Yeah,
that was pretty funny. That's funny.
You know about the Mormon missions.
Hey, that was pretty good. Also, the guy at Boston College is like 45 too. Like bringing back days of Chris Winkie. Hey, really quickly, Curtis and Gary.
Todd Detmer.
So you've got the Cardinals at the Seahawks. We were just talking about the Seahawks. Curtis, you talk about how, you know, seeing DeAndre Hopkins that's why Bill O'Brien got fired. This is actually going to be a pretty good game because you got to wonder if Seahawks going to be pissed about what happened. And the Cardinals are playing very well. I'm a big fan of Kyler Murray, too. So what do you think about this particular game?
Well, I'm going to say, guess who supplanted Russell Wilson for MVP? It might be Kyler Murray.
Wow.
This is for the division. If Seattle blows this game, they have no shot on this division. Their division hopes are over.
Well, because they're 0-2 right now in the division, even though they're 6-3, they're 0-2 in the division. So they would go down, if they lost this game, they would go down to 0-3, you know, with the two teams. Did they win one already? Did they win a?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they won. 2-1. That's right. I'm sorry.
1-2.
But I do believe that I'm going with Arizona. Arizona,
I like Arizona too.
Played them well. Beat them in Seattle last year. I think Murray's just—he's something special. He's a special quarterback that's making those big time plays. That Russell Wilson can make those types of plays as well. But I just think that when this guy's gone, when he breaks away, you know, he can fake a little pass and he can run 40, 50 yards to the end zone. He ain't going to get caught. He's
fast.
He's
a tricky little fella, man. Them little feet, man.
Yeah, so
you don't know how fast that little dude is moving.
I think
he's
that's the difference.
Dude now.
I just can't imagine Russell Wilson
in Seattle falling completely apart. I think they come out with some pride at home tomorrow night on a Thursday night. I look for Seattle to bounce back in this game. I just can't imagine Russell Wilson and that team just falling completely apart. I think it's going to be a shootout now. And, you know, I think it's going to be a lot of points just like the first matchup here. And I'm going to go a close game. I think Seattle wins in the end, 34-31. I think it's going to be a great ball game tomorrow night. Get your popcorn ready.
Yeah,
JQ, don't drink too many beers.
Yeah, our favorite football game, and just like this one's going to be, my favorite football game, I'll say this, is when you don't know who's going to win until the very last play of the game. When you have those kind of games, you see something special in the NFL. The last play of the game lets you know who won or who lost. and that's going to be another one of those.
No, that's true. But guys, let's not overreact. Remember, the whole Raiders starting defense is on the COVID list this week until they're cleared. We are in unprecedented times. Stop saying somebody's not going to win a division or not going to win MVP. Dude, look at this game and look at this season in three-game increments. And after those three games, change again. There's nothing set in stone because everything is in so much flux, man. So Seattle still has a chance to take it back to where they were earlier this season. They're not done, man. The guys are coming back. Carson will be back pretty soon. It's not over, bro. You'll be fine.
Yeah, I was going to pick my point. You're going to get Carlos Hyde, and you're going to, and they said that Chris Carson is expected to play. So you get rid of the whole DJ Dallas and then Homer as just and Alex Collins. Where I don't know where they got the corpse of Alex Collins from. I didn't even know he was still in the league. And they was giving him like 10 touches in the game. I was like, wow, for real, Alex Collins. But again, that was crazy. I was like, I really didn't know he was in the league.
He was the witness protection program.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he's seen some killings. They put him under deep cover, so they had to pull him up out somewhere out of the middle of Nebraska.
Told you all them workouts would pay off. You going to practice every day for what? They might call me. You don't know.
But in all seriousness, I'm with Rob on the fact that they've lost two in a row. They've already lost one to Arizona, so you cannot give them the tiebreaker like that at this point. I think they come out with a lot of pride. I think this is going to be like one of those old Arena Football League games where last team with the ball wins. I think that's going to be Seattle. I think Seattle wins the close game, but it's going to be a lot of points put on the board tomorrow.
Interesting game.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
And earlier when we fought into Arizona, what did they do? They lost to Detroit and who was it, Washington, back-to-back games. So, again, man, small increments for the season. Don't look at anything long-term, man, because – things can turn on their head immediately. We had the Raiders have their whole O-line with the COVID.
Yep.
Now they got the whole defense. Like, this is crazy.
This is cool.
Your point about Arizona, are they still high off of last week? Are they still sitting there looking at the replay of that Hail Mary and not focused on a short turnaround of playing a very pissed off Seattle team? You know, sometimes when you're young, you get too high and you don't bring it back to the middle. So we'll see.
Yeah, and DK
like
Metcalf want to redeem himself for being trapped by Mr. Him downstairs, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey just completely took him out.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah. Hey, Rob, so we got to give JQ credit last week because he was the only one that picked the Colts, again. So we were giving him a lot of grief, but he pulls it off. So congrats, JQ, for picking the Colts last week. But now the Colts you're playing, or the Packers are at the Colts, if you will. We're going to actually start with JQ on this one. So what do you think about this one?
This was a tough one because for the same reason I picked the Colts last week, the Packers really don't get a pass rush at all either. Those Smith boys aren't really getting out to the pass like they did last year. They don't have a whole lot of sacks between them. And I said it last week, I feel like if you give Phillip Rivers a clean pocket, he can pick you apart. I didn't see the injury report because Jair Alexander is a big loss for the Packers at cornerback. I know he left that other game with a concussion. I'm not sure if he's going to be back for this game. But it's hard for me to pick against Aaron Rodgers and what him and Davante Adams have going right now. Like, you know they want to throw the ball to Davante Adams. And he still is getting like 17 targets and catching 14 balls for like 130 and two touchdowns. And you're sitting there watching this like, how is this happening? You know that's where they want to go with the ball, but he's still able to do it. But that Packers defense is, listen, man, it's bad. Like it's bad, bad. But the Colts don't have, you know, I haven't seen enough out of Jonathan Taylor yet to say that he can take advantage of that Packers defense. This is a pick 'em game to me. I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers and the gunslinger, but I don't really feel good about it because I can see the Colts winning just because of the Packers defense. But Aaron Rodgers, I think, finds a way to win. I don't feel great about it, though.
Well, JQ, I'm picking the Colts all for the same reasons you said that the Colts will win on last week. I'm picking the Colts here. You know, you already said it, the Packers and their defense. I think the coach threw a ball control offense in this game, control the clock, Nyheim Hines doing a tremendous job running the ball, catching the ball out of the backfield. You're mixing in a little Jonathan Taylor. Colts' offensive line is really good. The Packers have no pass rush. I think they control the clock here and win this football game. I don't think it's going to be as dominant as they beat the Titans on last week. Absolutely not. But I do think the Colts find a way to control the clock, win this football game. I'm going to go to the same score. I picked the Saints to beat the Falcons, 27-21, Colts over the Cheeseheads.
Wow. Wow. Whatever JCU said I'm going with, I believe in him. I believe in his picks. He was right last week. He's going to be right this week.
Oh, my goodness.
Go ahead, Curtis. What do you got?
But JQ, you picked the Falcons, Gary.
Except the Falcon. I'm a Falcon game. You know, hey, you know, that's why you're going places, Rob. Mind your own business. Go ahead, Curtis.
I'm going to go with the And I think
one of my sayings is a lie. I don't care who tells it.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs win by three. I think they win by a field goal.
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty close.
Hey, Dodge, what you got, Dodge?
Well, first of all, whatever you do, do not look up Golf Golf 3000 on social media. There's a lot of controversy going on right now. Do not look that up. I guess give me the Colts.
He told you don't look it up, Andre.
Andre.
Going to the abyss and see it. Do not go into the abyss. I'm trying to tell you. It is a sound that will terrify you and ruin your life. Probably does it to you. Golf 3000. Let me go with the Colts, man. Let me go with the running game, the defense. And let me go with them pulling off the upset. Yeah, it's in the dome. Yeah, Devontae Adams will have 29 catches. I'm really worried about Aaron Jones.
That's funny.
He doesn't look like himself, and that kind of takes away, how dynamic they can be. But it is a fast track. That does help. But this is where I expect Phillip Rivers to actually play well. One of those
the
times
Packers struggled against the Jaguars this past weekend, surprisingly. Now, sometimes those teams play down to the competition,
win game.
But they struggled against the Jaguars this past week.
The Colts did it in week one against the Jaguars, cover. So, I mean.
Oh, that was week one. You know, nobody know who they are on week one.
You knew who the damn Jaguars were on week one. If you don't stop that.
that's the only chance they got to win is week one, because you got no film on nobody.
Gardner Minshew.
That's why they
were doing
one game. Thank you.
Irrational confidence.
That's funny.
Right. Gardner Minshew still thought he was good then. Now not actually good. So
that's
now
funny.
We got the other guy in there, Jake Lostrom or whatever his name is.
Yeah, he played a good game.
I roll with him.
Gardner's gone. I love it.
Well, hey, I'm betting against him for the rest of the season as long as he starts. Ain't no way in hell Jake Lostrom is taking my money all season. I'm not going to believe it.
Oh, my God. Titans at the Ravens, if you will. Titans, getting coming off that blow, and then the Ravens, if you will, coming off that. So two teams that are pretty mad at each other. What about this, Rob?
I'm going to go with the Ravens. And, JQ touched on it on last week, man. The Titans defensively, they're really struggling. No pass rush. And I think Lamar Jackson has the field day. I think they run the football on Tennessee. And I think they're able to slow Tennessee down. I think Baltimore puts up about 31 points in this game, and I'm going to go 31-17. I like the Ravens by two touchdowns in this game. I think the Titans are starting to go in the wrong direction here.
I agree with all that. Nothing else to be said. Baltimore.
Nice. I'm going with Baltimore as well on that one, absolutely. And it's going to be by a couple of touchdowns, and they need a win right now. So I think they're going to be ready for it. They're going to be locked and loaded. They're going to win by at least two. Two touchdowns.
Yep.
Okay. Nice. Naj.
I was waiting on Gary. I'm going the other way. I'm going Tennessee. And here's why. I think Tennessee is finally realizing, their old model of old school football, defense, and running game, They just can't do that. That defense is too bad. So I think they open it up offensively, and we see Tennessee outscore Baltimore. Because I just don't see Baltimore putting up more than 27 at this point. Just with what they're doing offensively, I think we see Tennessee open it up, man.
On Baltimore's defense?
Yeah, I think they're kind of dynamic. I think Tennessee is really, really good offensively. I think Jonu is a problem. Corey Davis is showing a little bit. And, of course, A.J. Brown's a legit number one. And you add that up with Derrick Henry and you have an account for him in the box, I think they are difficult to defend. So I'm going Tennessee, man.
Okay.
All right. Let's wrap this up.
Not a popular pick, but I'm going.
No, boss. If you can sell it, we got it. Rams at the Bucks. You got your boy. What's going on with this one, Rob? You in Tampa Bay.
I think it's going to be a really interesting football game here. You know,
you
saw a couple of weeks ago how the Saints were just the Saints were rushing Tom Brady with four and just drilling him almost every other play here. So it's going to be a real intriguing game. I think the Rams slow Tampa Bay down. You saw Tampa Bay put up 46 points on Carolina. I think the Rams slow them down, but I think Tampa Bay finds a way to win this game. I'm going to go 21-17 Tampa in a tough football game. I think this is a tough physical football game. Just don't think the Rams will be able to score enough points on Tampa either.
You like Jared Goff? Is Jared Goff still going to be the quarterback for the Rams?
I do it. Yeah.
As long as Jared Goff is still going to be the quarterback for the Rams going against that Bucs against Tom Brady, I'm going to go with Tampa Bay.
Yeah. And Jared Goff, how many turnovers he had against Seattle? Seattle still couldn't win the game? What do you have, two or three fumbles?
That's not going to work against Tampa Bay and all the weapons that Tom Brady got. That's not going to work.
Well, I have noticed something. Ever since Rob's beloved Saints lost to the Rams, I don't think he's ever picked the Rams in any game since. So I'm going with the Rams, like I went with the Rams last week, just because Rob won't.
That's pretty funny.
Well, it's
Monday
night. Well,
you picked against JQ, man. I thought you picked every team JQ picked, man.
Y'all back to hell, stop that.
Mind your own business, Rob. It's Monday night football, and Tom Brady's going to look pretty for Monday night football.
That's
his night. And so he's the only game that night. So they're going to bounce back in a big way on Monday night football.
Well, I will give you no analysis. I will give you no reason for this. This is pure hatred. Aaron Donald is going to get a hold of Tom Brady. He's going to start cussing out the old lineman and acting like himself, like we know he gets when he gets mad. And, yeah, I'm going with the upset, man. They game-managed Jared Goff into under 20 passes, and they win the game in an ugly ball control style. So give me the Rams, man. I'm taking them. This is pure hate, not speculation. Please don't bet me.
Hey, let me put the disclaimer.
Hey, even Curtis hates the Patriots, and not the Patriots. He hates Tom Brady, and he picks them.
He's a Monday night hero.
Yeah. I love it. Hey, so let's go ahead and before we get to the fantasy football here, we got to wrap up the show. Let's let JQ talk about some college football here. You got number 9 Indiana versus your boys at Ohio State, JQ. So let's do that one really quickly, and we'll let Rob do some fantasy shout-outs, if you will.
All right, I was going to do the last one. I think the Chiefs beat the Raiders. I think they blow their doors off because the Raiders took that victory lap in the damn bus around Arrowhead, and Andy Reid and them ain't forgot. They're gonna beat the brakes off the Raiders this week. You already know. But Ohio State and Indiana, I think, is going to be a really good game. I think, you know, Indiana is actually playing really good ball. They're part of the reason why James Franklin and Jim Harbaugh are in trouble at Michigan and at Penn State. That Indiana team with Penix at quarterback is playing really well offensively and defensively. And Ohio State, having lost Arnett and Nacula to the first round last year, their secondary is not as good as it was last year, and they can be an just being honest, they can be beaten in the back end, especially by a team that can spread them out and have multiple dynamic pieces on the outside. Justin Fields is going to have to win a shootout, I believe, against Indiana. I'm glad it's at Ohio State. I think they win, but there's no way they cover a 20.5-point spread against that Indiana team unless Penix just implodes, and I have not seen that from him this year. I think Ohio State wins a 7-10-point game against Indiana, but it's going to be really close. I think it's going to have me walk around here like a caged animal cussing at the TV for about 3.5 hours, if I'm being honest with you. Wisconsin, Northwestern, that kid, that freshman from Wisconsin that they've gotten back is the real deal, a quarterback, from what I've seen of him.
Oh, Graham Mertz, he's incredible.
Yeah, he's been ridiculous. I think they go on the road and they get a win against Northwestern. I just don't trust Northwestern in anything but academics. Once they start getting ranked, you know, they get ahead of themselves, and then they find a way to lose
the
game.
Beat the B team.
Yeah, they whoop your ass in the classroom now, but on the football field, not so much. And then Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. Oklahoma just doesn't look like Oklahoma this year. Oklahoma State actually has a really good team. And if you can't beat Oklahoma this year to win one of these in Bedlam, I don't know when you're going to. So I'm going with Oklahoma State and Bedlam.
I agree with you on every one of those games except the Oklahoma State-Oklahoma game, but I'll start with the Ohio State game first. I totally agree with you. I think that game's close. Maybe it's a midway in the third quarter, but I think Ohio State pulls away in the end. I think Ohio State can win that game by 14 to 17 points. I think in the end their talent will prevail. They just have better athletes on the field than Indiana does. So I think Ohio State wins. I'm going to go 38-24 Ohio State winning that football game.
I hope so.
Against Indiana. I can see it being close. Indiana playing competitive, as you mentioned. You look at Indiana being ninth in the country, and you think it's like old school Bobby Knight college basketball, right? You know, you don't think for an Indiana football team to be ranked ninth in the country. But, yeah, so I think Ohio State pulls away in the end in that one. You hit it on the head with Wisconsin. Graham Mertz has been outstanding. You're looking at a guy that's probably going to be a future high draft pick in the NFL. That's how good he's been playing at the quarterback position. And I like Wisconsin big in this matchup. I think they'll be going on the road, and I really think they can win this game by like 45-17. I like them big over Northwestern in this game. They're going to be a team to watch. I think Northwestern is really going to be I think Wisconsin is going to be a team to watch. I think Oklahoma prevails in this game. Oklahoma State's got a really good defense, and obviously we know about Chuba Hubbard as well and the running back. I just don't know if they can outscore Oklahoma. They're not that dynamic offensively this year. And so I'm going to go Oklahoma 31-20 at home and win that football game.
Wow.
Yeah, and in the Pac-12, did you guys see – that thing that happened to Oregon State with the sticks and the first down. Boy, I'm not sure. That was horrible. Was they moving the sticks back on Oregon State? That was terrible. But Oregon.
I was at first, and I realized they were messing with themselves.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. If you wasn't watching, and I was watching, what was they doing in this? But it was in Washington, and it was Oregon State. So, and I know that went up to the big boys, with the Pac-12 out here. They're doing an investigation on that whole thing. Because that was horrible. But it looks like Oregon, Cristobal, and some of the things he knows. So Oregon's going to win this North, and it remains to be seen who's going to win the South.
Interesting. All right, we're going to wrap this up, but I was going to say, before we let Gary and Curtis do the last wrap-up, two things I want to talk about. Rob, I want to do the fantasy shout-out because I think I won all my games this week. It was pretty amazing. And the Hawks drafted Skylar Mays, by the way, from LSU. So just want to throw that in there on YouTube.
I was
YouTube,
just sitting there thinking that. Boy, Atlanta loves drafting LSU players, basketball and football.
Hey, man,
huh?
That's what it's all about, man. Anything to, like, you know.
Y'all know what good talent is. Yeah.
Oh, God.
No.
Not this year.
There's still some talent. It's just not cohesive. All right, fantasy shout-outs for the week here. In league, as Andre mentioned, in league number one, his team had the biggest win of the week, straight cash, homie, 137.66 over Big Fast and Strong, 77.80. KC in Atlanta, his team Lions King is in first place with a 8-2 record. League number two, Sean in Atlanta, Black and Gold Patrol had the biggest win of the week, 174.60 over Pelly, 79.04. Mark from New Orleans, Boxcar Willie 02 in first place at 7-3. League number four, let's see. I'm trying to remember who has this team. Larry in Houston, Saints Pelicans 23 with a 101.74 win over Al's Coleholics 52.82. And Andre's team in first place, Wakanda Forever Dre at 8-1.
Oh, we're going to see after this week.
Say what?
We're going to see after this week, though.
Oh, y'all must be going head to head.
Yep, both of us tied with the best same record.
All right. League number four, okay. Biggest win of the week is Joe from Philadelphia. Birds flew south, had a win 80.40. The baby got backfield 60.50. And my team, Flash Forward, is 8-2 in first place. Yeah, I'm sorry, Andre's team is 9-1 in league number three, not 8-1, 9-1 first place. So those are the fantasy shout-outs of the week. And, hey, NBA is getting ready to start here before you know it, so we're going to have to find a date for the NBA fantasy draft. And as we get started on that season, the 72-game abbreviated season.
It's all good. I'm 9-1 in that league too. He's got to be beat by like 20 points overall. Is why he's in first place. He knows he's hanging on by a very thin thread.
Anything okay. To say, Dre?
No, man. I'm looking forward to it. You know. So yeah.
That's the truth.
Good.
We got the same record. He's got to be by like 20 points. He's number one.
Yeah,
I get
you hanging on by a thread. Hanging on by.
Yeah,
a thread.
Yeah. He's hanging on by a thread though. That's all good.
Hanging on by a thread. Hanging on by a thread.
Hey, number one is number one.
It's all good. Hey, Curtis, Gary, anything else? Wrap up. Nas, you got anything? I know we're going to wrap this up to anything you guys. So I can talk. Anything you guys have to say. Lord have mercy. That wine was not that strong. Go ahead.
What are you asking me? What is it you're asking me?
Don't make it repeat it.
Right, wrap up.
No, you know,
I'm good. That's how it goes.
For real.
Let it breathe, Andre. It's all good, brother. Let that
no,
red breathe. Get that good feeling in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to the great Sam Presti for realizing, like, yo, you're not about to win like this. We're about to tear this thing down in a fashion nobody's ever done. You think Philly process was something? Watch what I do. I'm trading everything and getting as many picks as possible. So shout out to OKC for doing a real deal.
Man.
I love it.
He's terrible.
Yeah,
that's real one.
16
yeah,
picks
like
from
five
now
five
to 2026.
They didn't draft like 5 point guards, it seems like. Go ahead. I love it. That's really accurate, Dodge, by the way. Because they just like – how many picks do they have? You know?
You may be moved too.
Go ahead, Gary. That's true. Go ahead, Gary.
I'm done. You guys are. It was a great show tonight. I don't really have anything to add. Good luck to your Buckeyes this weekend.
Thank you.
I do think they're going to win by a couple of touchdowns. Other than that, guys, be safe. Wear your mask.
Yes.
Wear your damn mask and wash your ass.
Do you understand
wash
how
your hands.
Much praying and eating his vitamins Russell Wilson is doing this week? Them boys in trouble, man. That dude's been in the chapel last 72 hours. He ready. He talking to Jesus. It's going down.
He's actually not right. He's actually right. Look at Knox is on his
okay.
point. Go ahead, Rob. Wrap this up, Rob.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition. We're talking sports on the 12th man on this Wednesday night. Next week, we're going to be coming to you on Thanksgiving Eve. Thanksgiving Eve on next Wednesday night, we're going to be coming at you 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. For our friends in Hawaii, that's going to be 5 p.m. Aloha. I'm getting used to this 11 p.m. time being on the East Coast now. And, hey, I'm going to get with it. It was rough a little bit.
Yes, sir. Now you know how we feel. Welcome to the party,
now,
sir.
We're trying to, like, get off the call. Like, yo, we got to go to sleep, man.
Now you got a 6 a.m. conference call, don't you?
Nice. Take you.
Yes, sir. Hey, y'all. We appreciate it. Always fun to talk to you boys. Hopefully we can talk about a Buckeyes victory next week, but we'll see. I'm not counting anything because I know I give Indiana a whole lot of respect. So appreciate the love. Talk to y'all next week. And like you said, wear your mask, wash your hands, wash your ass.
Wash your ass. Last quick note. That's crazy. There are no blue bloods in the lottery for the first time in a long time. No Duke, Kentucky, North Carolina, or Kansas players for the first time since the year 2000. That is a crazy stat that they were just talking about.
Boom.
Yeah, so that isn't that crazy? Yeah. No Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, or Kansas players for the first time since the year 2000 in almost 20 years.
Wow.
No blue blood.
Wow.
That's crazy. Yeah. Anyway, that's just an interesting stat.
That's why there are no superstars in this draft.
Yeah.
Deep draft, though. I will say that. I don't know if we got any superstars, but it's a deep draft. You got some players who are going to play in the NBA for a long time in this draft.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
I thought that was an interesting stat. Anyway, hey, Knox.
Great stat.
Thanks for calling in. Gary, appreciate you, man. Keep it going, guys. Like I said, have a great weekend. And I apologize. I know I'm in Charlotte, just kind of wrapping up. It's been a really crazy week for me. So hopefully I'll calm down and we'll get back to that too. So in the interim, you guys, please be safe for Thanksgiving. I know we're still kind of in this craziness with the virus and no one's taking things seriously, man, but that's what we got to do. We still pray for the country,
yep.
man, the crazy with our president, what's happening right now. He don't want to turn over the reins. So keep all that as well too, man. So it's just been a nightmare if you will too, but we're gonna get through it. We're going to get through this all. Okay. So I know. Good time.
Absolutely.
It's been crazy. Ah, you guys be good. We'll talk to you guys same time, same channel next
huge,
week.
Huge.
We'll get it down too.
Hey, be safe on your travels back home, bro.
I know,
yep,
right?
Be safe.
You too.
Be good. All right, fellas, be good.
All right, y'all.
All right.
All right, y'all.